is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Strain Print, the official band of Humble and Fred Play for the Cat, and our newest sponsors, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions and Hill Street Beverage Company. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now, from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
Well, that's the weirdest thing, because the box, all three lights just went off. Yeah. See if we're connected.
Oh, it's because we're talking into the machine, and so left and right means there's sound.
Oh. Oh, I got excited there. Sorry. Yeah, welcome to the show. This is just like an entire thing is a podcast extra. I got really excited there. And what was that whiff of, what was that smell?
Don't know.
That was weird. And that wasn't the dog. Just got like this really weird whiff. Hi, everyone. This is some old school stuff here on the 7th of January.
Yes, 7th of January, 2019. Yeah. The year of our Lord.
Jesus.
We came in this morning, all set to do a live broadcast, funny 820, across the right across the province. And there was a technical difficulty.
You know, it's really funny, though.
What?
So, we have a friend of ours, Raw Mike Richards. Mm-hmm. And Raw Mike was supposed to start on an AM station in Mississauga today. And you came in. One of the first things you said to me was, oh, I think our buddy Mike's having some Humble and Fred luck.
Right. Because he was supposed to start his show on that station at 6 o'clock this morning. And driving in, I thought, oh, Mike's starting his show, so I'll flip over and just listen to the opening. And it sounds like their transmitter was down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I just heard a crackling and then distant radio stations in the background. So that usually means that transmitter's down and you're grabbing the 960 signal from faraway places.
Yeah, which on
AM, the dark side of the moon.
Well, well, on AM,
yeah,
that could be
anywhere.
Anywhere,
yeah,
because of the way the pattern skips. Anyway, and then that happened, and then we tried to do our show, and it's not working.
And, but, you know, this is a work in progress. You know, there were some power interruptions at the studio over the weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not an engineer. I'm not an engineer, although I didn't know about it because I wasn't here. Mm-hmm. But we just got to get to know that whenever there's something like that, we're going to have to check this stuff because of how, what's the word? You know, it's a delicate connection between here and Hamilton.
Oh, yes.
So we have to just make sure that when there's any disruptions, we have to sort of baby it. We didn't do that.
We did not.
Didn't think of it.
Well, mm-hmm. I did think of, here's the thing. I came in the studio at some point, and I reset the board, and I called Jim Carr. I was just looking through my phone, because you reminded me that I did take a picture of what it was supposed to look mm-hmm. like. Anyway, I said to Jim, if we have any problems, I'll call you Monday morning. And then I did it again. At another point, I recycled the power in the building, mm-hmm. reset the board. Anyway, I didn't even think about the fact that our connection to Hamilton.
That's a good situation there, because the last time we had a problem, you took a picture of it because that was a very clever thing to do.
Right.
Take a picture of it.
Just in
and
case.
Then you can refer to it.
Yep.
And then I said to you, you said to me, oh, I'm not sure how that goes. I said, you took a picture of it. And what did you say?
I can't find it.
I don't know where the picture is. I'm not quite sure you remember taking a picture of it.
It's right there.
Oh, now it is.
Silly boy.
That I reminded
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, but no, until I reminded you, you've even forgot that you had taken a picture of it.
Okay, that's not that. That's not it. That's something else.
It's on a different board, or
no? It's on a different board, Phil. Do you know what else this is, by the way? Mm. Historically speaking,
yes,
Phil. Can you guess what this is? Today, because we're not broadcasting on a radio station
mm-hmm.
or a satellite network. This will be the first time we've just done a podcast only.
Hmm. In quite a while.
A long time, Phil.
Yes.
You don't even understand how long it's been, Philly. Phil.
It's been a long time since we were between broadcasters, right?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
A long time.
I probably should put the picture of what the board's supposed to look like somewhere where I can find it. Anyway,
create a fun.
Create workspace life balance.
Karma.
What? Yeah, really. Freddie's like, oh, Humble and Fred luck. And then it descended upon us. Sean did a little Facebook Live where we were looking kind of forlorn. Were we forlorn enough in that? I was going for forlorn.
It looked like you're struggling.
Was that?
It looked like you're struggling.
I was struggling. And then we called the engineer, and he doesn't know what's going on. He can't troubleshoot it over the phone. I called Jim Carr. He's busy. Mm-hmm. Girlfriend Rachel's down here. She's confused. She's like, well, it seems like the same nonsense you guys normally do.
Yep.
No difference to her. He's just hanging out, being beautiful and all, with her fuzzy sweater on. Sweet. Mm. Nice stockings, too.
Oh, like it, fishnet stockings.
Look at that. Wait a minute. I didn't know that was an option.
Well,
look at that. Happy birthday to me.
Have I told you the stories of the first, when my first sexual arousal?
Uh-oh.
Seriously. I think I've told you this. Miss Harper, grade four. I was like 9 years old.
Right.
And she used to wear fishnet stockings. And I had no history with them. It's just when she used to walk in those fishnet stockings, I used to get feelings down there.
Feelings.
Honestly. You know that first sexual awakening that you have? Can you remember yours way back in the day? And I remember that's the first time I was aroused, like, literally by a woman. She would have been in her early 20s. She seemed ancient to me at the time,
yeah,
of course. But she'd walk in these fishnet stockings, and it'd be like, ooh, what's that?
Well, I do remember, actually. It was the first time I went to a friend's place. I might have been, I don't know, 9, 10, or 11, and they served me bacon.
Bacon. Swing.
No, I make it up. You see, it's a joke. A little makeup joke.
Wait a second, though. I don't think... I've known you for almost, like, I don't know, years now. And I've never... Have I ever seen those before?
No, they're in.
Because you know what I... you know how excited I get when I can just see your knee in your jeans? That's a whole... You know what I'm talking about? She has these jeans, and it's interesting because it's her left knee that's just sort of ripped. It's like cool ripped, you know, cool fashion jeans.
Yeah, you buy them ripped.
Yeah, yeah. And because when she's sitting next to me in the car, I have access to that knee, and it does things. It's fun.
But you're not in grade four.
No. Mentally, I am.
Right on.
Right on. So what is the deal? Do we do this show without any swears so that we can also use it for the funny? I think we should.
Yeah.
Well, why would we just all of a sudden start swearing?
I didn't say we would.
Oh.
Get aggravated at me. How dare you?
Well, there's always Friday.
Well, it's not hard.
What, not to swear or to get aggravated at me? So no swears. We'll just use some of this material.
Yeah.
For our
show.
Best of. Yeah, it's a show. You're a show.
This show will be probably one of our weekend shows on Funny 820.
Friday or Saturday.
It's really not hard to figure out.
Yeah.
No. Well, let's just, because we're going to do basically a little shorter version of the podcast, although this would be about what we used to do, around an hour 20,
hour
an hour 15, 30, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get right to this program is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa. Tim Niblett is making friends wherever he goes.
Well, you know, the Retirement Sherpa was on last week, and you know, let me, you know, reestablish Tim as a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. He was on the show last week, and he talked about looking ahead, you know, the new year, we got to reassess a lot of things. Why not your portfolio? Why not your investments? And if you don't have any, start thinking about it now. Because it's a good time. Review your portfolios, and if you're not quite sure where to go with that, talk to Tim. I mean, he's great. RetirementSherpa.ca is where to get a hold of him. He'll look at what you've got. He'll set you up with something new. He does it all. And one bit of advice he gave last week was don't be freaked out by what happened in December if, in fact, you took a hit, because it's just part of the cycle. Just part of the cycle.
You know, in a second, I'll tell you about some interesting news surrounding the Apple stock.
Right.
Now, part of that was because of the fall, early winter market, but it's interesting. Are you using cannabis the way you should be? Get the free Strain Print companion app and learn how others are, you know, dealing with their journey. Everyone processes cannabis differently. I mean, look at Phil. Phil just being in my house gets high. Get the Strain Print app. Download it for free, Apple or Google Play. And learn from others as for security, Strain Print uses the highest standard of data, medical encryption, and all data remains anonymous. So you can use it without, you know, concern. It's strainprint.ca, strainprint.ca. All right. Where's that thing I sent you, Phil?
There it should be there.
What was that?
Oh, here we go. Yep.
So... In just 3 months, Apple has lost 452 billion in market value.
What? $500 trillion? Isn't that what that would be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making Apple's losses bigger than the entire market caps of all the current U.S. companies, other than Microsoft and a few others. After a promising debut of the iPhone 10 and strong growth of its service, Apple stock rose sky high in September and October, and it got to $1 trillion in market cap, whatever that means.
Okay.
And then...
What happened?
Well, because of international iPhone sales under-delivered, according to this, mm-hmm. resulting in quarterly revenues that fell short of Apple's predictions. Mm-hmm. So just check that number. I'm saying that number right, am I not? 452 billion.
Billion, yeah. Because at one point it was 1.1 trillion. Now it's worth about 500 mm-hmm. something.
Now, this is the first time they hadn't met their forecast in 15 years.
Mm-hmm. This is actually the first time it's dropped at all in about 15 years.
So that's right.
They've had rises until this year.
Mm-hmm. And they're, it says here, Phil, they have a lot to worry about in China.
China!
What? Just Trump doing China. I just remember when he pronounces China.
Okay. China's market accounts for 20% of Apple sales. And their demand apparently is smaller than forecasted. And there you go. So it was $500 million.
They also have a lawsuit. In fact, another American company is suing Apple for some trademarks. And now China's saying you can't sell any iPhones until that's resolved.
Well, does this have anything to do with the trade wars with...
Trump, completely. Trump. Yes.
Oh, okay.
China.
So Mr. Trump is involved in this?
Of course. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Can't be. Everything's good. Everything's great. Best
Greatest thing ever.
Best ever.
Greatest wall. Mm-hmm.
It was funny the other day. Here we go.
I have more Chinese news for you, by the way.
Anyway, the Dow Jones has been falling off a cliff. So the other day, one day, it popped up 700 points. I forget why. That's the first thing he tweeted, right? Dow up 700 points. You know, the day before, it was like down 600 or something.
It was down 2,000.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Dial up 700 points.
And the thing is, the base that he speaks to, even they have got to be insulted. At some point, some of them have to go, yeah, but we're not stupid. Mm-hmm. We're not those people. I know we like to characterize them as being a bunch of, you know, hosers and idiots, but mm-hmm. some of them have to at some point start to catch on and go, well, no, but it's been down mm-hmm. all fall. It went up one day. I don't know. So, remember I was telling you the story before the show started, and you reminded me that it was William Shatner in the late 90s. Remember this company, Priceline?
Oh, yes.
So, in the late 90s, early 2000s, when there was this huge, you know, tech, you know, bubble, mm-hmm. a lot of people made a lot of money.
The dot-com bubble.
And you mentioned that Shatner must have had some shares of that, because he was all over those commercials. Mm-hmm. So Priceline soared to a value of $23 billion. But by 2002, its stock went from $1,000 a share mm-hmm. to $6.60 per share. And basically, it was left for dead. Mm-hmm. Then they bought Booking.com.
Right. Booking.yeah.
Booking.yeah. And now they've had a 3,000% uptick in stock price. And $100 billion, they call it the comeback kid stock.
Wow.
So think about that. You had a bunch of money. your shares went down to $6 a share. And somebody would have said, oh, you know what? I heard they bought this booking thing. Maybe pick up a few shares. And so maybe it did. And then that share went up 3,000%. And they call it, some analysts say it's the most remarkable turnaround in the history of the internet. Mm-hmm. And where the Chinese part comes in is that Booking has thrown down more than $2 billion in Chinese tech companies to access that market.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know the Trivago commercials with the guy.
Oh, yeah, the German
Trivago
actor.
Guy. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many of those commercials, and I often sit there and I think, how much money do they have to be making to make those advertising buys? And where is the money in that? Like, and it's so competitive. Trivago, Priceline,
Kayak,
on and on.
Well, the thing is, it's because it's all brands in the end. Like,
you
know?
Think about it. Every time somebody books, there's a few dollars or pennies or whatever.
Goes
something.
To them.
Yeah.
But every time, the thing is, every time you visit one of those websites, the thing is, it's only owned by two companies.
Well,
so Expedia or Priceline.
Yeah. Priceline. And here's the thing. In China, Google is blocked.
It is.
So most Chinese citizens rely on travel apps to book trips. And so that's why booking is so key in that market.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's obviously lucrative. My goodness.
Priceline owns 47% of the travel market online.
So all these things. So why would they develop Trivago if it's under the umbrella of Expedia? Or why do they do that?
They're giving you the idea of choice, the impression that somehow you've got many websites under your umbrella, but it's their umbrella.
So what they're doing, Howard, to break a rule that we started with, they are bullshitting you. Is this what they're doing? Hey now.
You're a rock star.
That's a lot of bullshit.
Hey now. Hey, hello. And you know, when you book with hotels.com or booking.com or whatever, you think you're dealing with the hotel, but you're not.
No. Mm-hmm.
You're only dealing with that aggregator.
Yeah, because they buy the rooms, right?
That's right.
And that's why they sell them off for nothing at the very end.
And I've used it a bunch of times, and I really never had any problem with it.
No, I've never used, you know, the option that it's a real super price, but you don't know where the hotel is until after you've booked?
Right. Yes, Hotwire.
I don't do that.
I don't want to do that.
I don't do that.
You don't want to bid on a hotel.
But how would you like to live in a country, too, like China, where Google is blocked?
Oh, I can't even go on a plane from China
like
without going there.
Mr. Chinese President, like, why? Why have you blocked Google?
I don't know,
how
Fred.
How do you feel as a citizen? Because you know they're aware of Google.
Yeah. But
you can't have it.
Pearlie and I were getting married, and we flew a Chinese airline.
Chinese
to Hong Kong.
Airline.
We're not even going to China. Mm. And the airline gave you free data, can't use Google. So we had to download something else to talk.
How do they? That is pretty remarkable when you think a billion people plus.
1.4
billion people. How do they? What are they still using? What would it be? Ask Jeeves?
Or web crawler? Is that still around?
Ask a Jeeves. Ask a Jeeves?
They have the Baidu.
What was the one before Google that everybody
Yahoo.
Used?
Yahoo.
Maybe, yeah.
It still works. Yahoo still works, but you can't really get the search results. It's still censored.
Right.
So they use a search engine called Baidu, which is something. It's a Chinese version.
This whole idea in China and blocking Google. What bothers me about it is... Well, on behalf of the Chinese people, this is what bothers me.
Yes.
They don't want people to learn. Like, you know, Google's wonderful. I mean, it really is for, like, anything you need to know. Good, bad, indifferent.
Google.
And it's just there. And the reason they block it is because they don't want their people to be equipped with world knowledge.
Yeah, they're worried about the unfiltered part.
Wow.
Yeah, but is there no other... Forget Ask Jeeves. That's a joke. Mm-hmm. But is there no other way around it? Can't you just search... So there's not free searching?
Well, you can go on to Yahoo. You can go on to Baidu. Yeah.
Do they have that there?
Yeah, they have those services, but it's censored. It's all censored in the end.
So what if you...
They have a guy sitting in a room going, oh, no, Mr. Wang, you cannot ask that question.
You don't like it.
You don't like that question.
Mr. Wang.
You don't ask that question.
No, not at all.
No one is going to see or recommended for you and your porn. Can you get porn in China?
You know what? You can't get porn, but you can get PGA in China. Yahoo.
What's that?
Yahoo can offer golf results, but they can't tell you much else.
Okay, but that's not. That's only porn for me.
That's exactly.
So what about the porn-gy? Can you not get any honorable porn-gy?
Sometimes you'll get these scandals where people would, you know, post on something called Weibo, which is like Twitter for Chinese. So they'll find a.
Stop it. Twitter.
But
can we just talk about the upside of the Chinese for a second?
Oh, you know.
All weekend long, I've been thinking about this. You know, here we in North America, we got this dunderhead running shit. Sorry, I know you're not swearing. We have a dunderhead running the world.
<Too late now.
laughs> We just bleep that out. We have a dunderhead running the place. Mm-hmm. We have people, you know, eating Tide Pods. And because of this stupid Netflix movie, Bird Box, they're walking around with blindfolds on. Meanwhile, the Chinese, they can't Google anything, so they've got time to work on a spacecraft that's sitting on the moon right now. The far side, the dark side of the moon. While we're all just wandering blindfolded into traffic.
Eating Tide Pods.
The Chinese, Fred, are doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, just before you left on Thursday, I just mentioned it to you. I think we were talking about it on the... Can't remember if we mentioned it on the show or not. But I said to you, you know, that's pretty cool. The Chinese have landed something on the moon.
Yeah.
And when you and I were little boys, like somebody landing something on the moon was forget the top story. It was the only story.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't that long ago. It's only 40, 50 years ago.
Well, the Americans in the past couple of months landed something on Mars. So sort of trumps the moon. It's almost like, why bother?
Sure, but still like... No, I know.
I know what you mean.
It's like, okay, I took a trip to the East Coast. You took a trip to France. It's still pretty impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad analogy, but you know what I mean. It's still impressive to me.
Well, you can tell the development is a bit of an impression.
Oh, no, it's an impressive, because it's not easily done, especially the dark side of the moon.
And by the way, what you said about the Mars Voyager, whatever that was, that story we had a couple or whatever just before the break, where that thing... That spacecraft broke away from the, what was it called? The helio?
Remember the heliosphere, yes.
Heliosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we were kids, things like that were, that was all people talked about. Now it's like more people are talking about friggin' Netflix than the moon, than the Chinese moon
but
landing.
But it is a bit of a development though, because remember when the Americans landed on the moon back in 1969, right. China was still melting their pots and pans so they can make guns to shoot at Taiwan. This was their thinking back then. Mm. So when you think in 50 years they could transform that into this, that's pretty cool. Cool, I think.
Yeah. The Netflix reported, you know, we don't often talk about numbers with Netflix, although I think we've mentioned this number before. They have 130 million mm-hmm. accounts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember we once were talking about how do they afford all this production?
Mm-hmm.
For, what is it, $15 a month they charge us?
$16 now.
Okay, so for $15 a month.
Is it that much?
Mm-hmm. They just rose the rates this year.
Mm. So for, let's say, $15 a month, because it's easier than $16. $15 times 130 million people.
A month.
That's how they can afford.
No, I know.
And I know a few of us are sharing accounts.
Right.
You know how we do. Anyway, 45 million viewers... tuned in to watch that Sandra Bullock thing, Bird Box.
Yeah, what is that all about? I don't even know.
It's the idea is you have to wear, she's trying to get her kids out of the forest or something, and you got to wear blindfolds because what happens is if you see something, what is it? It's your worst fears or nightmares.
Everyone starts committing suicide because they see stuff.
Continue. I just need to go downstairs.
It's all about you can't open your eyes. You have to keep your eyes closed. Otherwise, you commit suicide.
Now, there was a movie I saw called The Quiet Place. It came out in theaters. Pretty good. But similar thing where you had to be quiet or the aliens will find you and kill you.
Mm-hmm. It was, I thought I was actually... about to watch that movie when I turned on Bird Box on Netflix, not realizing it was a different movie. So that one's about you can't speak, no sound.
And this one is no looky.
Sight.
Yeah. The next one will be like no touchy.
No touchy.
No touchy.
Ew.
No, but it was actually pretty good, though.
Not that G.
That's like if you touch yourself, the aliens will find you. If you turn in Japanese, you know what I'm saying.
But yeah, I had to check it out just because there's like 43 million views this weekend. And it was all over the Golden Globes.
I want to talk about the Golden Globes in a bit. I never watched any of that broadcast last night. Sorry. Don't have to anymore. You do. You look up. 45 million. I guess the only way they can tell is how many people. I guess they can tell how many people hit it.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose watch the whole thing.
Because you're streaming it.
Because they're streaming it. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they count partial streams as well.
They probably do based on the second, because you're not downloading it, so they have that information.
Well, I guess they would. And they would know how many people actually viewed the whole movie. So 45 million, to put it in perspective, you think about a movie opening. So again, let's just use round numbers. Average ticket price is closer to 20 than 10. Well, we'll just say 10. Mm-hmm. That would give it a $450 million worldwide box office at $10 a ticket.
Yeah.
$600 million-ish at $14, $15 a ticket. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it's funny. Netflix doesn't throw around these numbers very often. Also, Netflix released a brand new special just in the new year here called Stand Ups Around the World, I think is the name of it. And there are four stand-ups from Canada, two of which have been on our show.
Hey.
Dave Meherj, mm-hmm. K. Trevor Wilson. I think K. Trev's coming in this week. They're all doing press for this. And then there's a couple other Canadian comics, Ivan Decker and Deanna Smith. Both of those, I'd never seen them before. Among the best I've ever seen. They're so good. Now, I've seen Dave and Kate Trevor.
They're specials?
Yeah. So what Netflix did is it went around.
Is this part of the investment in Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and what they did is part of the investment was they taped all these people, I think, at Montreal's Just for Laughs last summer.
Okay.
Not just the Canadians, but the Americans, and there were some Indians. Very international crowd. But there's four Canadians, and it was very impressive. I was just talking about, I'm not sure if you heard us, about how Netflix doesn't normally release a lot of these numbers. But 45 million views of that movie, if that was a regular movie, that would be like $500 million box office
right.
at $15 a ticket.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear great things about it. Did you like it?
I actually really liked it. Not a huge Sandra Bullock fan, usually. And it was a lot like, if you remember Speed from a long time ago,
Sandra Bullock
driving a bus.
Yeah, man.
That was,
she could drive
it was
my
very
bus.
Similar to that kind of Sandra Bullock acting versus all the other dramatic.
I like Sandra Bullock.
Yeah,
I do. I find her very attractive.
You're in there.
Yes, yeah. in a way.
Well, that's my jam, that brunette kind of vibe, you know. Mm-hmm.
Fishnets.
Yes, congeniality.
So Bird Box. Oh, yeah, the other thing that was on Netflix that was sort of, you know, part of people's conversations was this something Bundersnatch or something it's called. What's it called? Bandersnatch? Cundersnatch?
What's that?
You don't know what that is, Phil?
On Netflix? What?
Yes.
Is it called Bander? Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
It's called Bandersnatch.
Nope. That's not a swear, is it?
No. You guys don't know about this?
Oh, my God.
So it's a movie.
Oh, Black Mirror.
Black Mirror's Bandersnatch.
There you go.
So Black Mirror is this sort of cool, techie, sci-fi series they put out. And this is the first one, Fred, that they put out where you get to choose
the ending?
All of it.
Huh. Oh, really?
As you're watching it, you can make decisions for the characters. I can't be bothered myself.
So,
but my kids watched it. Danny, I'm sure, watched it.
You talk about high tech.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And fiber optics and everything. So you hit the thing. So they've had to do all those scenes.
All those different scenarios.
What if you pick something? Oh, do you get a choice?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They will give you a choice. Have you watched it? You heard of it, though.
I've heard of it. I haven't gotten into that
and
one.
And neither have I. Charlie and Spencer were talking about it. All their friends were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were describing it to me, it just sounded like more work than I'm prepared to do.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. You got to do a lot of skipping.
Because I liked, you have to decide. Directing. You have to be active during the movie, mm-hmm. which for me isn't the point. But I can see mm-hmm. that Netflix is trying this as a whole other category now, where you participate in the development of the characters, the activity, and the ending.
They have to, you know, you have to evolve all the time now.
Yes, oh, yeah. Sir.
Especially with young audiences.
Well, I think they also have to compete because people like, you know, Pornhub have been doing that for years.
Have they?
Interactive porn.
You can pick the end?
Oh, yeah. You can choose
the same, isn't it?
I was going to say the
choose your ending?
The ending's always the same for me.
Splat.
Oh, come on.
Location, location,
look at,
location.
Look at what?
Did you?
Look at.
We had to go there. Sorry.
Well, he did.
Well, actually, I started it. Sean.
What happened? We're doing a clean show.
I started it. I'm sorry.
You know, what have you been watching lately? Did you watch any more of Catastrophe, or did you fall off?
Rachel and I just had. We were promised. We promised one another we would only watch it together.
Oh, okay.
So we haven't been doing a lot of TV watching.
What There's something watching? I started watching on the weekend. I believe it's Netflix. It's called Dairy Girls.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, wasn't that good? I've only seen two or three episodes.
I'm glad you like
the
it.
The young Irish girl teenagers. It's funny.
It's
man.
So well. You know,
I
what?
Have trouble understanding.
Yeah,
it,
me too.
But it's funny.
It's only six episodes. Yeah. Nice, which is short. I like that because if it's 23, I'm like, okay, well, I got my next 2 weeks. I'm glad you liked it because it's what I thought it was going to be like, sort of a little teen girl thing. Mm-hmm. And then you realize it's all about Northern Ireland in the 90s.
Right.
And all this British occupation. And mm-hmm. it's sort of set against a background of some really shitty things happening to these kids. And the kids in the thing are so good.
Really good.
And the grandpa is funny. And the yeah. he's always making fun of the husband.
Yeah.
And they're always talking about feckin' dicks. Yeah, feckin' dicks.
Yeah.
They're dicks. Feckin' dicks.
So if you're looking for something, you might want to check that out. Plus, I started watching, it's a little after the fact now, Big Little Lies. I'm not sure that was a Netflix one, though. It was, it may have been Showtime, maybe. I'm not sure. But it's Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon and Laura Dern. I find it's about a little town, well, not a little town, Monterey, California, and stuff that went on there.
Hmm. But I've heard of it.
You know, the performances by the women, especially Reese Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, the story isn't even the greatest, but Delisa and I started watching it, and I'm just totally intrigued by Reese Witherspoon.
I like her. Yeah,
she's just good. Like,
yeah, she's
just
very
really good. But just some of the stuff I've been watching.
Yeah, I'm glad you like. I would have recommended Dairy Girls. Like, it's funny because I can't remember who recommended it to me. But I love that British humor, or that sort of.
Well, what's funny?
UK humor or whatever.
One of the characters is a boy who came over from England. and they all hate him.
They all
he's
hate
from
him because he's England. And the way they talk to him, it gets worse. It's really funny.
Oh, no, I know. I can't wait. I got to see the end of it.
But I like all the characters.
Episodes.
The girl, the one girl who, it took me a while to figure out that the blonde girl lives with her cousin, the other girl, because mm-hmm. the mothers live together, the sisters, her right. mother and her. So it took me a while to figure out who everyone was, but they're just so mean to the British kid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just really well written, really funny.
Yeah. And then something else I might want to watch, because last night, the brief time that I watched the Golden Globes.
Yes.
This show, The Kominsky Method.
Yeah, I started it. Got four episodes in.
Well, Michael Douglas won Best Actor
yeah.
in a musical or comedy. He was almost embarrassed when he got on the stage because he was up against Jim Carrey and a few other comedic actors, right?
Yeah.
And he won it. And I think even the show won an award for Best Comedy or something. But that's something I want to see just based on that. The fact that he's funny in it, apparently.
We tried. We got four episodes in. I really wanted to love it because I like Alan Arkin. I love Alan Arkin. Mm-hmm. I like Michael Douglas. Alan Arkin's amazing in this thing. There's a couple little cute scenes with Danny DeVito, but I don't know. I guess we were expecting it to be something it turned out not to be. You might like it, though.
Well, it won Best Musical or Comedy. So, yeah, I'll give it a try, but usually on your recommendation, that's good enough for me.
No, but you might like it. I mean, it's because your expectations might be different. It's really well done, and Alan Arkin, I say, is excellent in it. Michael Douglas plays a guy who's an acting teacher, so there's some of that stuff in it. So, who else? Oh, yeah, Best Actor in a Motion Picture. Rami Malek is the guy that played Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
In Bohemian Rhapsody. And I don't know if it's available on our service yet, but I will tell you, his performance is amazing. And he's amazing. You know, the only other thing I remember him from, and the girls reminded me this, was in one of those Night at the Museums with Ben Stiller. He played one of the characters. I don't really know him. Do you guys know who he is?
He played the Pharaoh or something like that in that movie.
But that movie's great.
That's surprising. It won. I'm surprised that won, to be honest. I thought it was going to be A Star Is Born.
It also won Best Motion Picture, yeah.
Bradley Cooper. I'm surprised that one didn't win.
But these are the Golden Globes. Now, usually...
Didn't Lady Gaga not win?
That was kind of the upset of the night, that didn't win. And it was the Bohemian Rhapsody won for the picture. So that was a little surprising when I woke up this morning.
Freddie's right. Did Lady Gaga not win anything?
I'm looking here. Bez.
Oh, she was... Yeah, she didn't. She got beat by Glenn Close.
And right. Oh,
in something I've never heard of. And same with the other ones. The only one of these Best Actress movies I've ever heard of is Lady Gaga. Best Actor in a Motion Picture was Bradley Cooper. He didn't win, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
Best Motion Picture, I've seen a couple of them. Black Panther I saw. Black Klansman I saw. Star Is Born. Saw Bohemian Rhapsody, but I have not seen If Beale Street Could Talk. In fact, until this moment, I've never heard of it.
And when are the Oscars? They're, what, in March?
February,
because
all you've
heard of is, especially Lady Gaga, like it's nailed. And then, is the Golden Globes, is that usually, do they usually have the same results?
It's the precursor kind of thing, because the voting for the Oscars starts today.
Oh. Mm.
So everyone remembers these movies and what the Golden Globes said.
Best performance by an actor in a television series. Jason Bateman was up for Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen James for Homecoming. Richard Madden in Bodyguard, which was the winner. And that's that British series, Bodyguard. Loved it. The other ones, I don't know.
It's interesting, actually, that Spider-Man one I had been talking about last
Spider-Man
month.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That's that animated one that actually did really well. It was well received.
And you know, part of the problem too, like the Bodyguard, I didn't finish. Mrs. Maisel or whatever I haven't finished.
Did you like it though? Did you start it?
I wasn't in love with it. And it's just sometimes when you start a lot and then you got too many on your plate to go back and catch up, you really just got to concentrate on one or two at a time.
Oh, yeah.
And make a determination whether you're in or you're out. Like if you're halfway into it and you've got half a dozen, it's like. It's just not the way to go. No.
But, you know, we sort of brought that up recently. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was you and me talking about this, how I've noticed that over time, I never used to do what you're talking about. I would start a series and watch it.
Because
it just seemed like that's what you were supposed to do.
Right.
And then when you start to realize the choice you have, that's why we get four episodes into the Kominsky method and go, eh. Because I know on my watch list... Mm-hmm. Which I
you feel like you're wasting time.
I feel like there's so much else out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I never used to feel that way, or you might watch the first season of something and then never come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But this, well, your best buddy Darren, and I both love the Maisel thing.
Right.
But if you're not into it, you have so many other things that are at your disposal. Where and not just on Netflix. You and I have. We share Prime together. We share another service that's curated by your son. I also have Crave.
Got Crave.
So there's four. I also just, by the way, Phil, got Google has this thing. I was alerted that it could... It's like a Google Netflix now.
Oh, you mean you can buy off
Google movies.
Off of Google Play.
Google movies or whatever they call it. It's on my smart TV.
Yes.
So if you're halfway through the first couple episodes of The Fabulous Mrs. Maisel or whatever, you go, nah. There's... 8,000 things you could be watching.
It just brings you back to network television. Like, who's... Other than live events, who's watching it? There's no need to.
Right.
I mean, you just think of the quality of the... In all these shows, a lot of them that we have mentioned...
Yes.
You know, they're television shows, but they have swearing, they have nudity, they have... adult situations.
You can watch it whenever you want.
And regular TV just cannot compete with that.
Right.
And which makes it sort of less real TV. Where is it all? How many times do we have to ask this question? But really, 15, 10 years from now, over-the-air network television, what's it going to be? It's going to be news and sports. That's all.
Well, I asked you...
it will be able to be.
During our little, getting ready for the show when we're trying to figure out why we can't broadcast on Funny, I said to you, did you watch any football yesterday? Mm-hmm. You told me about the... The reason I ask is on the golf broadcast, they referenced that Bears loss.
Right.
Like a heartbreaking loss.
Mm-hmm.
But I turned network television on. Well, not even network, because yesterday it was the Golf Channel.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a network carrier. So I turned the television on, regular TV, for the first time in 2019. Hadn't even, why would I bother? And Phil and young apprentice, I got to figure out a way to get rid of that, because I've been told that if I get Chromecast or something, I won't even have to have that.
There's no need for cable anymore.
Yeah, you can buy an app for sports now.
Well,
yeah.
And if I had an, TV. Because really, if I could just figure out a way for the next 51 weeks or whatever to have all those channels, I never watched them.
Well, I told you, my son, but early 30s, not a real big sports. He likes playing sports, not watching it. He went to some Android box, and literally, he went from, and he went to some internet provider, I forget who. But what he used to be like $130 a month. Now he's like, I think he said $250 a year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Phil, I actually know that company. Yeah.
I sent Danny. It's funny you mentioned your son. I showed you the picture. There was some TV commercial that came on. I screen capped it and sent it to Danny last night.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to talk to him. The only thing I want to be guaranteed of is that if I want to sit down and watch the U.S. Open, there's no interruption.
I don't think it's there yet, those boxes. You can never totally count on
What do you guys think?
I'm going to disagree with that, in that you can get that Golf Channel subscription and never be, like, I pay for NHL subscription.
No, he's talking about through an Android box. If he can,
but I only pay my $120 a month, and I have full access on my computer, my TV, my everything to every hockey.
I want to eliminate the satellite.
Yeah,
there is
getting rid of that.
There is a good middle for that, and there are legitimate companies that sell you the Android box service, but it would be just like cable. So you're paying a lower fee for the same TV.
I'm paying $100 a month.
Yeah.
I mentioned this before. So $1,200 a year to watch one channel, one sport on four channels.
Yeah,
so,
but what you could do, because that golf, is it often, it's usually on one of the big
networks, it's on NBC, ABC, CBS,
or
the Golf Channel.
Get that through the air with an antenna.
I got to figure it out. Should we take a break? Let's talk about the Chamber's plan before we do, and then we'll move on.
It's Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. The Chamber's plan, Canada's leading group benefit plan for firms with 100 employees. Employee benefits enjoyed by 30,000 Canadian businesses now. That's quite the achievement. Been around over 40 years, so of course it's very stable. When you buy in, you know what you're getting. It's a very simple process, by the way. Go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. And it's smart because, hey, you feel good, your employees feel good. That's security that is provided. It's the Chamber Plan, chamberplan.ca.
Yeah, Phil, try connecting again. Just see if, maybe it needed to warm up or something. If you're a business owner looking to upgrade equipment without tying up existing capital, this is the point. LFS Credit and Finance Solutions is your best choice for leases and loans. You know, we got a lot of grown-ups listening to this program. Restaurant equipment, construction, medical, industrial, maybe a new copier. LFS offers years of experience and personalized service. Michelle Levesque, he's our buddy there. He's coming in tomorrow. He's going to explain all this. I mean, I'm looking through all the material, and there's so many reasons to use this. They're a funder as well as a broker, partnered with several lenders in Canada and the U.S. Quick turnaround times. That's another thing. A lot of these businesses that are leasing and financing equipment, you go to a bank, it can really tie up not only your time, but you're going to get a better deal with LFS. Because the turnaround time could be hours to a few days instead of weeks or months with a bank. So, go to creditfinance.ca and find out just how easily you can get a lease or loan with little or no down payment. That's LFS, Credit and Finance Solutions, creditfinance.ca. Look at us. I think it's cool. Not really do, like, I think it's cool that we have a sponsor like that. It just seems so... I don't know, mature. Not that our other sponsors aren't mature. Retirement Sherpa, that's a very mature concept.
Oh, yeah.
Just all of a sudden now we're advertising Credit and Finance Solutions. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of retirement, we were talking about how many shows there are to watch and how many places there are to watch them. I pretty much think that's what I'm going to do in my retirement. Somewhere around, you know, 69, 70, I'm just going to get a big bowl of hash and just start burning through my watch list. Just
see, I have a different take on that because I find the older I get, the less I'm really time conscious that way. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend a day watching television. I feel like I should be doing something else. And it's weird because, you know, if it makes you happy and you're learning from the show you're watching or being entertained, what's wrong with that? But it's just like, you only got so much time left. Do I really want to be spending days inside looking at a television when I could just be out with nature?
Yeah.
And that's, you know what? And that sounds corny.
No, but I know. No, it doesn't sound corny. Sounds like it's really...
like I could be doing something else outside of the four walls. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then when you come in, you come over and visit me. We'll get high and watch Netflix together.
Because I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I remember like summer holidays. Mm-hmm. Like on hot days, we'd just be down in the cool basement watching television. And not once did you think, oh, it's summer. I should be out enjoying the weather. You didn't care.
You didn't care.
You just said, I want to watch TV. That's what I feel like doing right now.
84.
Screw it.
You had 84 summers to go.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here. And as we do, we'll listen to our buddy's Play for the Cat. By the way, I'll talk more about the band in the next segment, but you can like them on Facebook, Play for the Cat, and now available Spotify and Apple Music, everybody. Another year, another month, another day. You patiently wait for me. You're asking me things that I can't relate. And you may know by now, decisions are not easy for me. And you might ask me how this uncertainty is gripping me. And to be frank, I'm not really sure.
Well, here we are back for the first time. I would love to look up the last time we ever did a podcast that wasn't broadcast on something. I mean, it would have been 2011, maybe early 2012. Because in 2012, we started doing the show live on K-Rock in Kingston. And then we took some of that, and then we did a pod. Or did we do just an entirely new podcast after?
We did
after?
Both.
We did the show and after. Then did the podcast. Do I remember that?
I fell asleep.
Well, no, I do remember that. But I was just wondering, do you remember if we took the material from the broadcast and put that together as part of the podcast?
No. We stopped down, took a breath, and then did a podcast.
So that's what I'm asking. Yeah. Were both of those things or just the podcast?
And then we shared the material.
Okay.
Like if during the podcast, extra, if there was something good, we would play it on the radio show the next day and vice versa. If something was on the radio show that was good, we'd use it in the podcast. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But I'm not sure.
Do you understand how it worked?
I don't think you understand what I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But we, don't you even remember in Kingston, once the radio show was over, we stopped
sat
down
and did a podcast.
And we, yeah.
Okay, so.
Isn't that what you're asking?
But here's what I'm asking.
What are you asking? Mm-hmm.
So, because this really, today is the first time we haven't been broadcast on an outlet in 6 years. I know that in Kingston we did the show, then we stopped, took a breath, as you say, and then we did a podcast after.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't take the material from the show necessarily and slam it all together and put a 3-hour podcast together.
No,
or did we?
No.
That's all I'm asking.
No.
This is more Play for the Cat. PlayForTheCat.com. And if you, man, they did a great job at our Christmas party. It's available for purchase. iTunes, Google Play, CD Baby, PlayForTheCat.com. Now available on Spotify and Apple Music. And, I mean, we're only giving you a little flavor of it as we play little bits of it on our transition here. But it's really, really fine music. And I think it's got such a nice spirit. And, you know, go check it out yourself. PlayForTheCat.com. How about FYI Music, my friend? We should probably talk about them a little bit.
Yes, sir. FYIMusicNews.ca, the place to go for what's going on in the Canadian music industry. It really is something else. A Star Is Born returns for its seventh week at number one. Isn't that ironic? Because last night it didn't win the Golden Globe Award. I mean, very popular. Again, you know, it's funny how that stuff works.
Yes.
You know, if you took a street sampling, I'm sure Star Is Born would win hands down. But hey, in the end, it doesn't. What else can you read at FYIMusicNews.ca? Well, there's the music biz headlines. All the big stories across the country from the music industry are there. And the Music News Digest, the Media Beat, you know, a media spin on what's going on in the Canadian music industry as well. It's all there, FYIMusicNews.ca.
Freddie's going to talk a little bit later about the Hill Street Challenge. I can just tell you, if you want to play along, we have all the details on our website. It's a chance to go booze-free for the month of January and do something great, whether it's for the Arthritis Society of Canada or Prostate Cancer Canada. All the details at hillstreetbeverages.com. Freddie, I said we'll talk about the beer in a bit, but just want to make sure that you know it's kind of a promotion, a little bit of a contest, if you will, and a great way to... you know, spread the word and get your charity paid. It's not that complicated. You just sort of hashtag either one of those charities, and every time that pops up in their feed, they get a point. And at the end of the month, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the month, the charity with the most points gets $10,000 from Hill Street Beverage Company. I forgot, but now I remembered. My buddy Pacheto's here. Go get settled, you know? Look how hip he is. Look at him. How do you...
Is more coming.
Is Carmella coming?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be good. Yeah, look at Pacheto, though. He's got... Let's just... Can we get a picture of that? Because how do you know what to wear? Because he's got, like, cool ripped jeans. He's got a jacket on. He's got, like, what looks like 15 scarves.
And it's one. It's my Lenny Kravitz scarf.
Oh, how do you,
he,
look,
he's dressed like, he does dress like a rock star.
Yeah.
By the way, that big little eyes, Lenny Kravitz's daughter is in that show. She's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob, you probably don't know Andy Wilson. Andy was one of our original producers. Rob and I and Fred, we all worked together over at Redfish Entertainment. The old Redfish days.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Still pay the price for that.
aren't we all? Aren't we all? Anyway.
No, apparently a lot of those prices weren't paid.
Well, it's the lock on the door.
That's right. That's right. What? I still remember that. The lock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty funny episode there. That'll be sort of for the after podcast someday. I remember that. Anyway, check out the hillstreetbeverages.com. Share and tag the Arthritis Society, Drive for Arthritis, hashtag Drive for Arthritis, or hashtag PCC, mm-hmm. the Prostate Cancer Canada. How's your...
Good. Good.
You know,
no complaints.
You'll love this. This is such a Fred joke that I've been doing lately.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rachel and I are going to the Turks and Caicos.
Right.
But I've been calling it the Terps and Caicos.
Oh, have you?
Yes,
right.
Yes. Any chance I can.
You know, this is the
We're
one.
Going to the Turks and Caicos.
This is the one I used at on Christmas Day. I woke up and I looked over at my sweet wife and I said, you know, next year we should have Christmas at a hotel. She said, what? I said, yeah, a Christmas at a hotel. She said, why would we do that? And I said, because then we'd have a Marriott Christmas. Right?
You know.
And I used that on the kids.
Oh,
even nice. The grandkids, they had no idea what I was talking about, but I really enjoyed it.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Just imagine if there's a Marriott in the Terps and Caicos.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
How much fun would that be? It's funny, because last night she's on the couch... looking on her computer whilst I was watching the golf, and every couple of minutes she'd say, oh, there's a a place of Frank's Fish Fry just down the beach from us. And I'd say, oh, really? And the Terps and Giggles? And finally she stopped telling me about interesting things that we were going to do.
Oh.
Anyway. So, Rob, you want to wait till Carmella? It's Carmella?
Carmelia.
And...
Carmelia Ray.
And who else?
Amber from... she's our event planner.
Why are we getting so many people?
Well, she's a cute little blonde. I thought you'd like to
yeah, yeah.
sitting here.
Yeah, fine. Whatever. That's we don't do that anymore. We don't see... we don't see gender anymore. Ever since, you know, the Me Too thing.
Cute blonde human.
Yeah.
Human.
Human. A lovely human species. I listened to the entire Louis C.K. stand-up.
Yes.
Hilarious. Sorry.
Good. Sorry.
It's hilarious.
Why are you saying sorry?
Well, because you're not supposed to like Louis C.K. You're not supposed to think he's funny. And, yeah, because, you know, listen, I think we all realize you're not supposed to jerk off in front of people that don't want you to do it. But I will tell you, some of the stuff, it's some of the funniest stand-up I've heard since the last time I heard him do stand-up. He's really, really good. I know people just say, well, what did he say about the school shootings? And what did he say about, you know, people whose genders are fluid? Yeah, well, he's a comedian. He made jokes about them.
You know? No, I agree.
That's what he did.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there's different levels to this. It's like, of course, you should be able to make fun of anything. I totally buy into that. But then it's whether you find it funny or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whether you find it funny based on whether you think you should find it funny or do just find it funny.
Yeah.
You know?
I heard
you played a bit for me last week. There was a segment. Now, that stuff about the fat kid, like hiding behind fat kids at Parkland and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you let your mind go, that's pretty funny. But you played another segment, and I said, yeah, I don't find that funny, but somebody else might. But not for a second do I think he should be whatever the word is.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is so
banned
many,
or
well, there's so many layers
crucified.
To it. It's like people are upset because of the subject matter. Because you're not supposed to be... Because now, apparently, there are... I mean, look back at Carlin and Pryor and Lenny Bruce. I had this discussion with Rachel. I said, you know, all of that was built on the backs of being offensive to somebody. I heard a routine on the radio on Sirius on one of the Comedy Greats channels about a guy going to the Anne Frank Museum. And it was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's where we're at nowadays. Because a lot of people, with our politically correct society, they don't take stuff at face value anymore. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Should I like this?
That's right.
What's, you know, is this one of these things I should like? Or should I be against this because I'm a nice person? Instead of just taking it at face value. I saw your posting on your Facebook page. That British guy that does the rants.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Russell Brand or...
No. And by the way, speaking of Russell Brand, his stand-up special is way smarter than you'd think it. Like, I've never seen him do stand-up. It's really, really good.
Anyway, you posted that, and it's a guy in Britain, and he does a rant on the Louis C.K. stuff, saying, is this where we're at nowadays?
Yeah, Jonathan Pye's his
you
name.
You cannot make fun of anything now.
Right.
But then I offered something there, too, that I had read on the weekend, which blew me away. The CBC, I think, was it part of Air Farce or whatever? They poked fun at Trudeau's trip to India because of what he wore and the way he danced. And now that's being called racist.
Oh, that was a Radio Canada skit. So it's about...
Yeah, okay.
So he's smoking his cannabis. He's getting into a trance. And all of a sudden, it's an Indian dance.
But I mean, this is the corp. I mean, it's like liberalism. It's fairness. It's, everything that's right about the world, and they poke fun at Trudeau, and now that's racist.
Yeah.
So on that post, you know, I put it up there because I happen to like it, and I thought this Jonathan Pye guy was making a good point about just what we're saying now. And then my buddy Jeff Lumby, so you posted the parody of Trudeau. Then Lumby goes, full disclosure, because I said in my post just simply, full disclosure, I think the Louis thing was great. Just did. And then Jeff goes, full disclosure, Louis C.K. isn't funny. Never was. Irrelevant. Let's move on. And then Darren and you. And finally, to his credit, Jeff said, basically, what I should have said was, I don't think he's funny.
Well, that's because of what I wrote. I said, it's subjective. Music and... Yeah. You can't have an argument. That was funny. No, it wasn't. Well, right. If you think it's funny, I mean, genuinely, from the heart feel it's funny or not. And you can't change that. It's like a movie. People love movies, and you know, there's people love those sci-fi movies, and I have no time for them. Yeah. It's hard to understand for someone that has a passion for it, but it's subjective.
Now, the other thing about Louis is that because he did what he did, you know, the Me Too thing, he got Me Too'd.
The potted plant thing.
No, that wasn't him. Oh, that was Harvey Weinstein.
Right, Weinstein.
Because of that, he went away for a year, and I would invite you all just to listen to it, just because if you're curious to hear what somebody has to say about being, what would you call it, ostracized and you know, put away, to hear what it was very interesting. So, you know, I just had like the worst year of my life. He lost $35 million. Okay, boo-hoo, but still, it's interesting to hear a person be that honest. And then he's just really funny. I always thought he was the best, and it really like the modern George Carlin, and I think history will weigh that out. I mean, listen, long after Bill Cosby was rumored to be what he ended up being, way worse than Louis C.K. I'm not saying that the people that Louis C.K. you know jerked off in front of weren't traumatized, but he didn't drug anybody and try and rape them.
Development over the weekend as well, or late last week, was. Kevin Hart now is considering hosting the Oscars again now because Ellen came out in support of him, you know, because he was under the gun for the comments he made 6, 7, 8 years ago about transgender people or whatever.
Gay people.
Gay people.
10 or 11 years ago.
Okay. So now Ellen, who's gay, came out in support of him, and now apparently behind that he got a lot of support, so now he's reconsidering the Oscars. If, in fact, I would figure it's too late, but...
Well, if they let him...
Haven't they named a replacement?
I don't know. But part of the thing is, so Louis didn't show enough humility or whatever it was, so there's that layer where, well, he didn't really apologize or he didn't suffer enough, and that's... And all those people that are saying that and feeling that, in their own lives, you know, that's what the problem with social media is. It makes us all momentarily feel better than somebody that, well, first of all, anybody else, but a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's like I'm able to directly tell this celebrity what I think of them. It's like you and I tweeting to Hannity and Trump. I mean, it's useless, but it's fun. It's super fun.
On the social media, while we're on that as well, Team Canada. I lose track of days, when you only work four.
Right. Well, two last week.
All right, Phil.
Anyway, Team Canada.
We know how we work.
Team Canada loses to Finland. I guess it was Thursday night in overtime, 2-1. And during the overtime, a Canadian kid, the captain, forget his name, some French kid, misses on a penalty shot. And then Finland comes back and scores. This kid was absolutely crushed on social media. And believe me, he's a kid 18 years old. You know the people crushing him were probably similar age or not much older. Because you wouldn't have like a 40-year-old, you know, hammering a kid on social media because he missed a penalty shot. You wouldn't. But apparently, it was horrible. So just think, you're 18 years old, you're playing for Canada, you're captain of the team, it comes down to overtime, and it could have gone either way. He could have put it between the goalie's legs, he would have been a hero. But he misses the penalty shot, they go back and score, and I'll tell you, it was tough for this kid. Because right across the country, all of a sudden, instant response, negative. Yeah. How do you feel when you're a kid?
Well, and that kid, like my kids, who are 20 and 24... have grown up in a world. The one advantage I would say that guys our age have, I mean, I know we're closer to death, but what we have as an advantage is we know the difference between actual criticism from another human being in person. We don't think of some guy tweeting to us, "I didn't like your show," is really being all that real. Like, who gives a shit?
Right.
Whereas our kids have grown up in a world where that's meaningful.
That
to
is
them.
Their world.
That boy, that 18-year-old boy, was suffering because those are real. Like, texting is talking.
Yeah.
That's just like having somebody say to your face, "You suck."
Right.
And that's different. And you know, that little discourse back and forth with you, Jeff, Darren, and thing on my Facebook posting. You guys would have had that conversation in person, and you don't take it personally.
Oh, no. Yes. No.
You know, you make a point. Jeff did. Darren did. And it was all very, you know, it was very nice.
Jocular.
Jocular,
no,
yes.
When I see stuff, I think, you know, I've said many times, well established, I'm not big on Led Zeppelin. I know that's crazy. People love Led Zeppelin. But I try to be very careful with that. I don't care for Led Zeppelin. Right. I don't say they stink, they're shit, they're no good, you shouldn't like them.
You wouldn't troll their account for that reason.
But that's Jeff when he makes that initial declaration, like he's not funny. I don't think he's funny, so no one else should, basically, is what he's saying.
But I can tell you, as a guy that's, you know, been as well established, very interested in the mechanics of stand-up comedy since I was 10, that Louis C.K. 55 minutes is the best stand-up I heard in 2018. It really is. I mean, whether it's super funny all the way through, but it's really well done. And it's really one of the things he's great at, which is taking uncomfortable subjects like a school shooting and making us sort of look at it a different way. And maybe you don't like looking at it the way he's made it, but some of it's pretty funny. You know, he's talking about, you know, he's a guy in his 50s and saying, oh, you know, why do we have to listen to you? Why do we care what you have to say? Just because you were at a school where some kids got shot. Now, it's a horrible thing to say out loud, but it's also like...
Well, there's something to that.
Yeah, there is something to that.
Yeah.
Just because you hid behind a fat kid.
Right. You profited from tragedy.
I'm sorry. It's funny. And the fact is that as a guy in his 50s, we're all struggling with knowing what to say when we meet somebody that's trans, non-binary, you know, whatever. And of course, that community is up in arms about him.
That's the problem now, the so-called shutdown brigade now. They know how to get you. They don't like something you say. They just go for the jugular. You're a racist. You're intolerant. You're homophobic. And then how do you respond to that? Because you can't prove you're not. You know? How do you prove that? Other than saying, well, no, I'm not. I just find it fun. Well, you're homophobic. Oh, you've got some issues. That's the warfare that's being used now.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about this piece for a while about how we're not allowed to notice race or ethnicity anymore. Even if it's just you notice. I notice that you're Chinese.
Right.
You notice that I'm a man of Judaism. But it's funny you can say, oh, man, I love Chinese food. But saying it, can you say I love Chinese people?
Or, you
know what I mean?
You used to be able to.
Sure.
That would be a term of endearment. Now it's like, well, you act like the dog.
Well, yeah. Or you might say, do you know any good Jamaicans? And that would be sort of weird. But if you said, do you know any good Jamaican food?
Yes.
You're cool. Like, there's something in there. I don't know what it is, but it's interesting because I love ethnic food, as you do.
Absolutely.
I almost bought Dahl some jerk the other day, just a get well jerk.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
But I ate it myself.
You know, on that point, last night, I saw this too. Golden Globe Awards. Sandra Oh, a Canadian who won an award, was one of the hosts. And just, they did all their funny, stilted one-liner back and forth crap that you see at those circle jerks. You know,
right.
That's what I hate about those shows. But anyway, at the end, she stops down. And she makes a point of pointing out all the different people in the crowd. The Chinese, the black, and how wonderful it is. She says, this is a moment in time. It may be fleeting. It may be last. But tonight we can look around at the difference.
Yeah.
Well, to your point, she made that point as an Asian person. You know?
Yeah, it's funny. I did this show in Ajax on Saturday night, and it was 130 people. And the guy that promoted the show was on our show, Jean-Paul. And on the show was, you know, a couple of black comics, a Jewish comic, a couple of a female comic, a trans comic, and the audience was half black. And I'm going to tell you, it was a great night. It was a really interesting show. And yet, when I do some of the stuff in my act that sort of seems a little bit, you know, whatever, I do this joke about being Jewish in a certain way, and they all kind of go, ooh, and I go, but calm down, everybody. It's me. I'm the one saying it. I'm the anti-Semitic in this joke. And still people are a little bit shy about how they're supposed to react.
And that's it, how they're supposed to react. They don't just react anymore.
Welcome back to our program. This angel, Carmelia Ray. Look at her.
Hi.
Carmelia's here.
Rob Baggetto making a return for the first time in years.
I thought you were calling me the angel.
Yeah, you're an angel. And this new...
What mic is that, Phil?
That should be 5-6.
What? Hello, what's your name?
5-6-5.
Oh, hi, I'm Amber Walker.
Amber Walker's here. Wasn't that lovely?
Yeah, and, happy to be here.
And everyone's back. Carmelia's back. He was just here a few weeks ago. We were talking to Pagetto. This is interesting because, as I mentioned, this is the first time since somewhere in 2011 that we've done the show that's not being broadcast because of some technical difficulties on an actual radio station. You were there in the early days of the podcast.
Yeah, it was. You know, I remember using Fred's dining room table, and that was the, you know, that was your studio.
Yeah.
And it was pretty remarkable. Now look at,
I know.
Now look at everything you
got. Now we got
going.
The whole house.
You got a dog.
Well, Carmelia, you had done our show a bunch of times, I think. We had already, at that point, had been on Sirius, and we had a studio set up.
Yep.
But Amber, this is all fancy-pantsy.
Yeah, this is all new experience, but I've heard good things.
Here, talk a little closer to that.
Closer to the mic.
Now, what is, are you, now, Rob's, this is the divorce party we're talking about.
This is the divorce party
you're like,
crew.
You're 17. How could you have already been divorced?
I get that a lot.
Are you Amish? What is going on?
She's actually Miss, what is it, Miss Country?
I'm a fair queen, but I mean, I'm also a corporate event planner. That's like, that's the side gig.
Okay. It's called the Elite Divorce Party. It happens January 18th at the Thompson Hotel Lobby Bar, which I love, by the way. The Thompson's my go-to brunch spot.
You've got to be there then. We
it's
have
so
tickets
cool.
for you.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a great little venue, and this is a wonderful experience. Carmelia, just retell us what this is all about.
Well, if for those who don't know, Tuesday, January 8th, is National Divorce Day, and January is actually considered Divorce Month. More people apply for divorce following the holidays in this month. And that's not the reason why we created this event. Rob,
well,
actually,
that's the reason I created
yeah,
it.
That's a, well,
I'm looking at dollar signs here.
Well, except I don't,
so what is it? Like a resolution? I lose weight, get divorced?
Divorced. Well, you know, I used to have a nightclub in Fort Lauderdale many years ago. And,
yeah.
You know, you
wow.
see, and oh, it was yeah. a more mature crowd that we had. It held 1,200 people, and I was just looking at the clientele, 35 and up, and I'm like, half of them don't know how to meet people nowadays.
Yep.
Half of them are divorced, and I'm like, well, let's get like-minded people together, but let's educate them. And this is where Carmelia Ray and Amber Walker from Amber Walker Events come in. I met with Carmelia because she's a friend of mine, and she's my matchmaker.
Yes,
still
and
single.
He's in a match.
Well, the weird thing about Rob is he's never been divorced from a woman. Divorced from reality, but
engaged three times.
That a boy.
Well, that qualifies him for something, right?
Three times.
Engaged three times.
And you always get the ring back. That's the smart thing is because, you know, the contract, you know, the completion of marriage is the contract. And if you end it before the marriage, hey, that's my ring.
So the idea of now, so this is all combining this idea that sometimes people that are a little older that have been out of the game, whether you've just been freshly divorced or you don't have to be divorced to come to this party.
Exactly.
No.
But it's for and because I remember back years ago you did one of these and it's a fascinating event. I went to it and what you see are people 35 plus with an opportunity to meet other people like that.
And here's the thing that a lot of people don't know where to go or how to meet people, and this is where Carmelia Ray comes
yeah,
in.
She
is the genius in matchmaking. And that's why I wanted to partner up.
Yeah, we've talked about online dating, how to build a better profile. In fact, at this event, our sponsors are people who support divorcees and singles of divorced. And so we have the ultimate dating after divorce grand prize, which includes styling, photo shoot, matchmaking, the whole bit. And the secondary purpose is to make connections, right? Like, that's why you don't have to be divorced to attend the party. There's going to be a dance, comedy show, mingling. So the end result is that we hope people make new connections with a lasting partner this time around.
Tickets can be purchased. We'll put this up on our site somewhere, but it's... just remember this. It's Elite Divorce Party. The grand prize, as Carmelia just mentioned, is worth like $5,000. Tickets, early bird tickets, $50, includes free drink and appetizers and two tickets for $80. VIP tickets are $100. That's free drink, appetizers, and a chance to win the matchmaking grand prize. And for your $100, you also get to be engaged to Rob Pichetto.
But you can't. You will not keep the ring. You got to get that, right?
Yeah, you just get to be
you get to say Rob's my fiance for the month of February.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. For Valentine's. And then that's it, right? So what's really cool, too, is we have booths for people to kind of shop. And Amber, why don't you tell us about some of the speakers we've got coming up?
Yeah, so we have a great lineup of speakers. So we have Quinn the comic to kind of do a funny bit about divorce, kind of to make fun at your expense, but not too much fun. And then we have Leanne Townsend, who's actually a divorce and lawyer, to come and speak.
Diane Horseman, also a very, she runs Bold Coaching, I think it is, and she helps people with divorce.
Yeah, and she's a mediator, too. So if we don't want to get lawyers involved, and it's a little bit cheaper way to deal with divorce. And then we have a great panel, a great list of panels speaking. And we've got Jana Webb from Joga
Real
House.
Yeah, Real Housewives of Toronto. She'll be there.
Amazing.
Actually, I went on a date with her on the Real Housewives.
All of this, by way of saying, so this is all going to be going on. It's a whole evening.
Yeah. A whole evening.
And really, it's a way to kind of mix and match with other people in your situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the entertainment's great and the food will be fun, but it's a nice opportunity in a safe environment to maybe this is the year you meet somebody, because not everyone's comfortable doing it online, although you help people do that. But a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, this is a chance to kind of hang out with some people just like yourself. All right.
Yes. Right, exactly.
That's amazing. Well, this is coming up January 18th.
And we want to give you 2 tickets to give away.
What?
2 tickets.
What?
2 tickets.
And again, you don't have to be divorced. You can just be a single.
You can just be single, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
The singles that want to meet them.
Creepy.
Yeah. No creepy people allowed.
Well, I'll tell you what, we won't do it today because today we're just doing the podcast. But we'll do that. You give me the details, Rob, and sometime this week we'll give away some tickets for the January 18th Elite Divorce Party. This is funny because we hadn't seen you, Carmelia Ray, in a while, and now we've seen you
in the last couple months.
You were here.
Last month.
That's what I'm saying. We hadn't seen
we talked
you
about
prior
you.
To that, and now here you are with all kinds of... Amber, you seem very nice.
Thank you. You do, too.
Well, let's be clear. You have been divorced as well? Or not?
Yeah, I've been divorced twice.
No.
What? I'm just kidding.
She is from a small town.
Oh, yeah, well, true. I'm not sure we got that answer because I'm thinking that. Wow.
She was divorced twice. Two of them were cousins.
No. I'm just the corporate event planner that just pulls it all together.
And by the way, you guys didn't see when Rob walked in, but Rob has got, like, I don't know how old you are, but he's got, like, the hipster jeans on. He's got a cool coat. He's got a scarf that's as big as his room. Like, it's really something else.
Yeah.
And I will be actually all dressed up from one of our speakers as well, a sponsor. So,
Mr.
And I'll fit it, man.
Look at you, Pichetto. Look at our little Pichetto's all grown up, putting shit together. Look at our boy.
So, are you divorced or not?
I am, yes.
Okay. So,
but I'm in a very, very serious, committed relationship.
I know that now. But do you recall the time when you were divorced, feeling like, where do I go?
I had a bit of a rocky.
It's quite a story.
He usually went to his back seat. All right.
Yeah, I had a lot of, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Well, yeah, this is what we're hoping for people who are divorced that maybe, wanting that support. Bring a friend. Bring for those of you who are in, even a married person that knows somebody going through a situation.
Hold on,
come on down. Friend.
You're laughing at it.
I don't know. Anyway, whatever you do, don't do what I did.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Now we all want to know what he did.
No, I know.
I got divorced.
Yes.
I got divorced, and then I had a relationship with a slightly younger woman for about 5 years.
Okay. Slightly.
And then he broke up with
her. Oh, the classic.
Yeah. And then he broke up with her, and chaos ensued.
Yeah. I broke up with her, and then I went on an 18-month alcohol-fueled Tinder fuck rampage.
Okay.
Sorry, cut that out.
Brought to you by...
Okay. All right, anyway. And then I settled down, and now I'm. It's an age-appropriate. Anyway.
Perfect.
And happy.
I'm very happy. Very lovely one.
Awesome.
So you guys, listen, thanks for coming in. We got to wrap up the show.
Thank you for
Carmelia, great seeing you again.
Great seeing
Amber,
you.
Amber, nice person, new friend.
CarmeliaRay.com for more info. And of course.
So proud of you and the work you're doing.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, now see if we can unawkwardly just get you guys going.
Okay.
we got other stuff to
do. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Good to see everybody. I was want. Maybe we should do this on the Hey Sean. For Instagram or whatever, we should watch Rob put that scarf back on. All right.
When I see stuff like that, I still realize I can't tie a tie. You can't either, can you?
No. You know,
weird,
what?
Eh? I can't.
I can. I'm not a very good one, though. And usually it takes me a couple of minutes.
No,
what do you do when you have to wear a tie? Well, we haven't had to wear a tie.
No, anymore. I get somebody to tie them, and then I never untie them. I hang them up tied.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's what I do.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. I just take them off carefully, squeeze them over my head, and then hang them up, and then squeeze it back over my head.
Because it usually takes me a couple of attempts, and then I should do that, because once I get it, I don't need to worry about it. Well, that's really smart.
But, Rob probably spends 4 or 5 minutes
look
with
at the
that.
Jack, look at the shirt he's got on. That shirt's worth like $300. Seriously. What are you ready for there? Oh, Hill Street.
Yes.
Are you going to do Hill Street?
Yes.
Do you think it's too cheesy if I use the Hill Street? I was thinking about that.
I don't know. You might want to ask Mr. Hill Street.
David. I'll tell you, the thing is, when I used to love this show.
You know, I've taken on a Hill Street challenge. The challenge for me is giving up alcohol for the month of January. Who knows, it may go beyond that. But have I missed the taste of beer? No, I have not.
Why is that?
Howard, over the weekend, I watched NFL playoff football, and I had, 4.
Wow.
Hill Street Crafted Brew Lagers. No, it's great. I like to sit and watch a football game and enjoy a beer. I took on this challenge. I got the product the other day, and I'll tell you, it was great. I just sat there, fire crackling, football game on, sipping my beer, and it was great. It was great to know that alcohol wasn't part of the equation, Howard.
Okay. Okay. Keep going, because you know what? You've got me.
Alcohol is full of calories, contraindicative to a slew of medications. Helps you make bad decisions.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Like maybe the decision to go for that field goal yesterday.
Yeah, that was wild.
No, me, it was a great finish to the game. Anyway, what I'm saying is you want to try Hill Street Craft Brewed Lager or Hill Street Designated Draft. Great products. Listen, if you love your beer and you want to back off the alcohol, that's the way to go. I've been doing it. I'm going to do it for the whole month of January.
Lovely.
And probably beyond.
Now, listen, we talked about the challenge and how you can participate if you want to hang out with Fred. Amanda Barker has been drinking their wine and reports that it's amazing. So you can share and tag hashtag dry for arthritis, share and tag hashtag PCC Prostate Cancer Canada, and really... It's not so much, we want you to be aware of Hill Street Beverages and the idea of going booze free for January, but there's also a chance to get $10,000 for one of these charities, and that's sort of going along with Fred drinking their beer. Pichetto, are you leaving now?
Yeah.
Okay. So are we going to do something?
Yes.
We have a phone call?
Yes.
Because I don't like what's going on here.
I can still work.
That's bullshit.
Exactly.
But seriously, can you not?
I already got some thoughts.
Can we do something?
Absolutely. And how do you want me to get your tickets?
I'll just send me a note later. Actually, you know what? Call me in an hour.
Okay.
Thanks, I got stuff to do. Yeah, it's funny. We hadn't seen him in a long time either.
No, it was good to see Rob. I would have liked to have talked to him for a while. To see how things are going at the barn he's working at.
And what is with radio? Why don't you guys stop firing everybody? Stupid heads. Let's talk a little bit about Gig Sky. Filth.
News.
Fizzy.
Error.
Who's doing all the traveling in this family? Fizzy is. Fizbo and Mama Fizbo.
Mama Fizz.
Mama Fizz are off to Paris.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Alors. Did you get that? Did you get that vortex this morning with the Phil? Oh, yeah. His first thing he says to me, oh, well, now my aunt is back in Paris. She was in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. And me and Mumsy are going to Paris.
We were worried that she wouldn't be there.
190 countries. That's where you get coverage with Gig Sky. Brother Steven in Mexico, Phil in France, Fred and I, wherever we go, we take the hotspot with us. That's how you can do it. Get the hotspot. The SIM's free. Comes in the Apple iPhone 10.
Right, in the eSIM that they have.
The eSIM. Mm-hmm. And it's so much better, so much cheaper. Here's the cool thing about the hotspot, too. If you're going with a big group, like our friends at Service Inspired Restaurants have gone and done some trips to Guatemala. 32 people are connected with your
Gig Sky Hotspot. And coming in the end of this month, another Gig Sky promotion for you to win some cool Gig Sky stuff. GigSky.com or go to HumbleAndFredRadio.com and check it out.
Check it.
So a doll update. She's going to get her wrist looked at today.
It's 1 week, so she has to go to the fracture clinic, and they got to have a look at it to see if it's setting properly. And if it is, I guess get a more manageable cast. If not, I don't know. Maybe they'll have to re-break it and redo it. I don't know. The poor little thing. She didn't deserve this. She doesn't hurt a fly. It should have been me. Should have been me who fell.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Should you,
I deserve all the pain and anguish.
Well, I do, obviously. Mm-hmm.
But it was last year, right?
I do.
Yeah, it did.
Well, I mean, listen, you had enough pain in 2018.
Oh, I should get it nonstop compared to her.
Listen.
What
more do you want? You had somebody drill a hole in your wiener.
Like,
that's about it, man.
No, they drilled a hole in my prostate.
Well, no, but
they
went
get through, to it, they to had to drill. They had to put the drill through my wiener.
That's what I'm saying. I think you've suffered enough there, buddy.
Okay.
I
mean, but the drilling didn't take part till after it was through my wiener.
Well, I know we've had this 30-year contest. Who hates himself more? But listen, you're fine. You had a drill in your pee hole into your sack. Mm-hmm. You did good.
Mm-hmm.
Poor doll. But I brought it up because I did. I actually was going to get some. There's this place that just opened up called Allwyn's, which is a legendary Toronto jerk place. It's a bakery.
Oh, like a franchise thing?
No, they only have a couple locations.
Oh, okay.
But the original one is,
right.
Everyone knows it.
Oh.
And I went over there and I had their jerk wings.
Mm.
Ooh. Little, very flavorful. A little more adventurous than I usually get spice-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I really loved it. And they get, you know, you get the creamy coleslaw to kind of take away. What do you do? That's when you have curries, you have something on the side.
Yogurt.
Something cool
to take the bite of. If
so
that's
I had a pound of these wings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, as they escaped my body, it was a fiery hole there. But it was
now those wings. What would they serve them with? Rice.
I got coleslaw, and I think just coleslaw. Mm. You can ask I just ordered them. I didn't order a dinner. I ordered them separate.
Oh, okay.
But I was thinking maybe I'll pick up some for the doll. As a little get well better. Get better.
But then you ended up eating them.
Yeah, no, I ended up like, I got to eat these.
So do they have like jerk,
all of it.
Jerk pork?
I think so.
A lot of them don't serve jerk pork.
They have...
For actually religious reasons, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still with them. Who made that deal?
No, I know.
Seriously, the Jews, eh? I thought we were supposed to be such great deal makers.
Howard.
And we got boned on the pork deal.
I go to a place in Brampton called Portland Jerk. They have great jerk pork, but there's some, if I don't want to go that far, they're popping up all the time, these little West Indian restaurants. And I'll walk out and say, do you have jerk pork? No, man. Like, it's like surprised you would even ask.
Right.
Like, we're going to let a pig in here? No way.
Well, I don't know for sure, but was she going to be home tomorrow? Is she home from work?
Yes.
Well, don't tell her, but I'm going to go. I'll pop over there.
Okay.
I'll get her like a nice... I'll get enough for you guys to have dinner.
And Howie.
And because you're never here when it opens.
But no.
I'll promise. I'll just get you jerk chicken rice and coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll love it. You'll love it, too.
Have you tried that smokehouse yet?
Oh, yeah.
That's right there?
Yeah.
It's good, too?
Yeah, pretty good. And you know what else is open up over there? It's called Rocco's Pizza and Pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, he's an Italian gentleman.
Really, Rocco?
Rocco. His name is Peter, though.
Oh, is he Rocco?
And Peter is like just moved. Really? He went from Italy to Brooklyn. Just moved here from New York a few years ago.
Really?
And his shit is tight, man. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And so all of a sudden, as I said to Rachel, I said, you know, I can make you a nice pot of pasta. Like, I made some salmon. I mean, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I said, I can't make it as good as that guy can. It's really good. I'm going to get you some jerk chicken. Anyway, Sean... We only have a couple minutes.
Okay.
Before you got to tell the story about doing her hair.
Oh, because...
That's funny.
Delise broke her wrist. It's the right hand, so she has trouble doing a lot of stuff.
Speaking of jerk pork.
So yesterday she washed her hair, and she puts a product in her hair afterwards, and that was my job. She sat in a chair in the bedroom, and I had to put the product in my hair and work it
in
my hand and work it through her hair.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be done just properly, right? Like, at first I was just grabbing it. No. The finger's almost... It has to go through each finger, and you have to pull in a certain way. Yeah. And then just
she has very thick, curly hair.
And then at the end, you got to shake it just a certain way.
Yeah.
And it was a bit tense at the beginning.
Oh, I bet.
I admit. But towards the end, I sort of, I got my head around what I had to do, and I think I pulled it off. I think I did. Because after it was all done and she was ready to go out, her hair looked good. And I said, did I do a good job? And she said, yes. But I have that to look forward to every 3 days now. But it's just you know, you take a little section of the hair, and then I took too much of a section, and then I had to put some back, and then just a little bit, and then work it through my hands, and then shake it, and then go to the side, and the other side, and the top, and the back.
Okay, well, this, not to be gross, but...
What?
You had a fucking bag on your hip for 2 months.
No,
well,
I don't.
She had to go through.
No, I don't.
Duh. Can you empty my piss bag?
And every night before she goes to bed, I have to put the scringy in her hair. Or whatever you call it.
What's that called? So, chicks
like a hair tie.
No,
a
girl's hair tie. It's
scrunchy.
Scrunchy. Secret word is scrunchy.
She bends over. I have to grab her hair all and pull it up and then put the scrunchy on. And last night I did it so quickly and efficiently, she looked at me and said, wow, you're getting good at this.
Look at you. Maybe that'll be what your retirement is, Fred's hairstyling salon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's funny because I take Lily to hockey every Saturday morning, Sunday morning.
That's your stepdaughter?
Yeah, and I'm just not allowed to touch her hair.
Yeah.
Just, no.
Really?
I have to find another mother in the change room or something to touch her hair. I'm not allowed to brush it.
It's funny you say that because I had, as you know, two daughters. And so I've had those moments where I remember washing their hair and I didn't do it as good as mommy. One of my favorite images, though, is Spencer was probably... how long have I known Dave White? Since 2003, so it's 15 years. So Spencer would have been like six or seven, and already Spencer. So Dave came over for one of the first times, and I went upstairs to do something. I came downstairs, and there he was brushing Spencer's hair, because Spencer had said, oh, Dave, why don't you brush my hair? Here's this big ex-cop with a brush in his hand, just wondering how he got sucked into this. Shawnee, Fred's got to go.
Okay.
Fred's taking Dahl to the wrist clinic.
Yes, the fracture clinic. Mm.
So why don't you do this? I think we'll do something a little unprecedented. Why don't I get little Jean-Jai over here?
Right, and I'll go. Can you put this away for me as well?
Sure.
Yeah, and then you go, and then we'll do a little podcast extra with just these numbskulls.
Great.
How's our Andy boy making out?
Andy boy.
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
Why don't you come sit in the Fred chair?
Are you waiting offers?
It's been patiently waiting.
No, I know.
Off in the distance.
Good boy.
Oh. Sure I put that
in. I got no job.
No, he doesn't need any headphones. Little Jean-Jai.
Humble and Andy.
I'm sorry you can't stay. I'm really sorry you can't stay. Oh,
I'm over it, but I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, he's way over it.
He didn't even look at me.
No, he doesn't care. At first, he wasn't sure who you were. You don't need headphones. Those aren't working.
Oh.
Actually, are those working? Try and see.
They
can you hear
me?
Yeah, because I fixed them.
Yeah, I can hear
them.
Oh,
but you can hear things?
I can hear things. Yeah, I sound good.
Wow, you've really gotten a lot cockier.
I know.
I used to be this kind of... used to be Sean. Sort of nice, quiet, happy to be here.
Barely made eye contact.
Yeah, made eye contact. Yeah. And now you're like, look at
Howard's louder than me.
Promise me you'll come back.
Well, yeah, I will.
No.
I'd love to. I live right down the street. I'm an Etobicoke guy. I am sorry you're leaving. I wanted to talk to you too. Okay. I was under the assumption that you were both were going to.
Well, I didn't know until this morning that he's got a wrist issue with Mrs. She can't drive.
Oh.
You can go out either door now.
No, I don't.
I know it's crazy.
I don't have to go through the residence.
Back or front?
No, I just.
I saw you doing some construction on your garage. Was that?
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah,
we took the wall down. We ripped down walls. Like Trump wants to build walls. I'm taking walls down.
Yeah, real man.
No, it was awesome. Okay, well, listen. Hey, Fred, man, I'm gonna get. I'm gonna bring you a big feed of jerk chicken.
Okay.
You'll love that shit.
I was about to say this is really, really loose, guys. But this is a podcast. You can just edit all this out, can't you?
No.
No.
You don't have those skills, no?
No, we do.
Okay.
We just don't.
Choose not to.
Yeah.
You're at that point where you just don't give a shit.
It's Humble and Fred, man. What do you want us to do?
At that point, you've been at that point for 30 years.
Yeah, what do you want us to do? What are we going to start being precise now?
Now we're going to start.
Like, sometimes, because normally the show ends on Funny 820 at around 8:55. And I imagine most people that download the podcast have a sense that, okay, as we say goodbye on Funny, that's when we sort of start the podcast extra.
Right.
And then oftentimes people will be sitting here and they'll sort of like... The theme goes, and then I just keep talking, and they're sort of like, "What's happening?"
What's going
like,
on?
Yeah. Well, yeah. we're still doing the show. Andy Wilson, for you people who don't know, was the originally an intern,
I think we gave the history the last time we heard, but yeah, you ended up, when did history. You produce, you do ever produce the Humble and Fred show?
No, I was only just an assistant producer with Bob.
But you did produce my show. No, that was Bob too. You did produce the show I did with Colleen.
That, that's right, on 97.3. I was a producer of that show.
Did you produce the Howard, Rick, Kim,
yeah, I produced
Colleen?
That mess as well. That was, that was just
and that is a, that was one of the,
that was
most
four
bizarre.
People that were all hosts of a show. Four hosts on one show.
Well, to be fair, there were only really one host.
Colleen.
Yes. Yeah. No, but Colleen had never hosted a show.
No.
Kim wasn't a host. Rick had never hosted a show. But the problem was there was four people trying to do talking for, in 3 minute breaks.
Yeah, and Rick would Rick wasn't even there the whole time.
Not all
Remember,
the time.
He wasn't in
well,
a
even
room.
When he was there, he wasn't there.
He hated us. Do you know that? He hated coming in twice an hour and then getting kicked back out.
Well, and to his, you know, listen, it wasn't his fault. He got hired to do a thing at News Talk 1010, and all of a sudden now he's on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he's a really nice man, Rick Hodge.
He bought me a Nintendo Wii. He went all the way up to Barrie to buy me a Nintendo Wii because I wanted it for my girlfriend at the time.
And I couldn't find one. But he was living up there.
He was. But he called me at 3 p.m. and said, Andy, I've got a Nintendo Wii in my hand. I know you can't find one. You've got 2 minutes to call me back or I'm going to buy it for you.
He just bought me a Nintendo Wii. My favorite Rick Hodge, because I, you know, I'd always competed against him, Roger, Rick, and Merrill in this big morning show. And this sort of, I had this... I don't know, mythic, whatever, thinking about Rick Hodge. And then I started working with him. And I remember one day we were doing a break, and I said something, and then Colleen said something, and then Kim said something. And I went over to Rick, and he just put his arms up and went, I got nothing.
Nothing. Well, like, we're out of time anyway.
What do you mean you got nothing? You're Rick fucking Hodge. What do you mean you got nothing? And I remember talking to Freddie after. I go, well, I don't know how they beat us all this year. So what do you got there, kid? You got a story, one story you want to tell, and then we'll talk to Andy a little bit, then I'll get out of here.
There was one story we didn't kind of bring up that was all over the news this weekend, the Drake. It was like a video of Drake that resurfaced from like 10 years ago of him kind of touching, caressing, kissing a 17-year-old girl on stage, and he was 23 at the time. So that was kind of, that just showed up in the news. And
are we supposed to be upset about that?
Yeah, that's
no. I'm just curious. I was telling you where I'm supposed to go.
That's actually been a thing that his fans and people are kind of upset right now that he did that on stage. But then again, it was kind of he used to bring up girls all the time on stage, and so did a lot of musicians. But he stopped doing that because things like this started happening, where I can't control who I brought on stage. She happens to look.
If she looked old enough.
Yeah,
how's he supposed to know he's not?
Well, he finds out in the video. He asks her, it gets brought up, and then he just immediately is like, "Whoa, how do you look like that? Why do you look like that?"
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then, all right, well, your breast touched my chest. Jeez. That he makes that comment, and then see you later. Have a good night. Kiss her again.
I will tell you that having had, again, daughters, 17-year-old girls, I remember this was in Oakville, and Charlie was in grade 11, going into grade 12, and I remember that distinctly, that all of a sudden her friends that she used to bring went swimming, all of a sudden they showed up, and I came home from work, and they were all sitting around the pool, and I said, hey, Charlie, and I went, okay, I'll just go inside.
All of a sudden, her friends went from one pieces to bikinis.
Yeah. Right. And they're all like, they're all 16, 17-year-old kids. There's this billboard at Ronci and Queen for somebody named Cash or something. Is that a rapper?
Yes, there's two billboards.
Yeah, huge.
Oh, you can see them off the Gardner. It's like Cash Day. Isn't today Cash Day or
what's
tomorrow Cash
Day?
Day?
Anybody know?
And it looks like something to do with Drake. The guy, it's like a cartoon on the billboard, looks like Drake. Mm. Yeah, today's Cash Day.
Cash? Cash is the rapper, right? There's a rapper named Cash?
Maybe it's Cash the rapper. No. Because it's not coming up on the Google.
Cash?
It's not going up on the Google. Cash the rapper?
Johnny Cash decided to come back from the dead, and it's Cash Day.
There's only one rapper named Tommy Cash. I don't think that's it. Anyway.
It's the Cash Man.
Sean, thank you very much.
I honestly don't. And I'm not a huge rap guy, but this was in the news. So
I'm surprised, being the Georgetown Phil, that you're not a huge...
And from Georgetown, I don't know. Everyone assumes I like country. That's not fair. I hate country so much. That's such a stereotype.
Why are you filled with hate and rage?
Just always filled with
probably because he comes all the way in from Georgetown every
what
day.
What about you? You used to. So you produced our show, Roger. What was it called? Humble Kim, Colleen and Rick.
Rick. Yeah, Lord. On 97.3 Easy Rock.
Yeah, the name of the show took all the break.
That's true. We had no time left.
In no time after, I'd say, "Oh, welcome back, Humble Kim, Colleen."
I've been
and
giving
Rick.
You the wrap up. Let's go.
Into so the you song. Produced that show,
yeah,
and then you stayed.
Yeah,
when we all got fired,
trimmed it
How
down.
How did you not get fired?
Me and Colleen got fired. Well, I've survived a lot of firings. You and Colleen got fired.
Kim got fired.
Yeah.
Then it was Colleen and I alone on Boom 97.3.
But even before that, back to the mix days. First, Fred got let go. Then you and Judy and Bob all got let go a year later. I survived that.
You're like a cockroach.
I'm a cockroach.
Radio cockroach.
Yeah. And then I survived Mad Dog's firing.
Wow.
At 99.9. Mm-hmm. I survived a couple other firings.
No, first you survived. Jabili got fired. You stayed.
Well, yeah.
Mad Dog got fired. You stayed.
That's true, yeah.
Then Maura.
I didn't survive that one, yeah.
No.
Finally, Tucker and Maura and the whole show got fired.
And now you're just wandering around aimlessly.
Yeah, now I'm just looking for things to do every day. I'm trying to make my life useful.
Are you all pumped up now? You're pretty big, eh?
I'm huge. I'm huge.
Well, I used to be into. I remember you were always very athletic, but I have sort of watched you over the years on Facebook. Is it your big trainer now?
I trained down the street at a gym down the street, and I remember Fred actually giving me a hard time because I posted a picture of myself lifting weights, and I remember hearing it on your podcast. I don't know what it was, but I remember hearing you guys rip into me because I was that guy posting pictures. Fred might have started.
Fred.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
I was that guy posting pictures of himself lifting, and the H and the F kind of gave me a hard time the next day.
But you look good, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So do you work out every day?
No, I also teach spin.
I'm sorry.
Four times a week, I teach spin. Yeah, I teach.
Now you're that guy.
I'm the guy with the tight pants and the tight shirt and the shoes and everything else,
the squeezy bike and everything.
That's really funny. Yeah. I teach spin.
Yeah, I make play. I teach every Monday. It's tonight. You can come down.
No,
yeah.
Really?
First class is free. I make playlists with some Drake.
Yeah, well, good for you, Andy Wilson. Everybody, okay. That's it. I gotta figure out why we can't get connected here.
You should have called me this morning. I could have helped you out.
Now, Phil, the machine, the brick, mm-hmm. isn't got three. The one light is off.
Oh, so the first two lights means sound. The third means it's connected.
Did you try turning it on?
But now that third light is off.
Right.
Okay, well, this is fairly
this
interesting.
This is getting
to me.
Very weird.
Okay, so what do we do? I'm going to end the show with the podcast music, but do the show thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure, yeah, you mean the extra.
Do the regular extra. That's right. What I mean. Hold on, I gotta find it. This is to answer your question.
Awkwardly.
I tried spinning once. It didn't work.
This dead air is also part of the charm of the show.
Phil? I couldn't fit a spinning bike, Andy. This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strainprint, the official band of Humble and Fred, Play for the Cat, and our newest sponsors, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions and Hill Street Beverage Company. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at Humble and FredRadio.com.
There's a destination a little up the road from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow, pulling out.